Blog Talk Radio. We Fix Credit. Are you bound by medical bills, child support liens, evictions, late payments, repossession, bankruptcy, or student loans? Today, you can turn that around. Time to be no longer bound. Hi, my name is Dove Stanton, and the name of my credit restoration company is No Longer Bound Financial Services. We are a debt-free company with the means to help thousands of people restore and rebuild their credit. Our customers have been able to obtain their dream homes, dream cars, refinancing, and building a greater future for them and their families. We dispute all negative and erroneous items from all three major credit bureaus. In closing, we can help you restore your credit, which in turn will restore your financial future. The way to reach me is by telephone or text at 678-760-6056, or you can email me at the number 4, the letter U, betterdays@gmail.com. Time to be no longer bound. You gotta have faith.
Well, all right, everyone. We'd like to say welcome to another Tuesday night Bible study. Praise Tabernacle, Tuesday night Bible study. I'm your host, Elder Richard Taylor, and I just want to say welcome to everyone that's listening all over, all of our Praise Tabernacle listeners, all of our members that are listening tonight, and all of our families and friends that are listening, co-workers that could be listening, everybody. We just want to say thank you and welcome to another Praise Tabernacle Bible study. On behalf of our Bishop, Pastor Omar Zachary, and his wife, Lady Zachary, we greet you in the name of Jesus, and we just want to say welcome, and we pray that you are getting something on these Tuesday nights, and we want to say welcome to the people over in London, England, over in Germany, and over in the, I believe it's the Bahamas. We just want to say welcome to all of those listeners all over the world and possibly all over in the country. So we just want to greet you in the name of Jesus and say welcome to, again, another Tuesday night Bible study where we have another great speaker. Y'all heard her before. I'm sure you got something from her before. She's a great speaker. As I say, I always love to hear her teach. She has such a soothing and calming voice that it is great to hear her speak. And so I just want to say, Evangelist Stanton, you now have the mic, man.
Thank you, Elder. Good evening, everyone. We are so glad that you decided to join us on tonight. We thank and praise God for each and every one of you. I will ask that you get your Bibles, get your pencil, and your paper. I always encourage everyone to study what we bring so that you can make sure it's testing the Spirit by the Spirit, and that you may have a word in there that God wants you to get. So write it down. Write what we talk about, what we teach, the scriptures. Go back and read and study the scriptures. Ask God to give you wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And before we get into our word, I will say a quick prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for today, God. We thank you for life and health and strength. We thank you for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. I pray, Father God, that your anointing would come and teach the word in and through me, God. Let me decrease as you increase. I pray, Father God, that the lesson that you have given me on tonight, that somebody will be delivered, somebody will be set free, somebody will be made whole. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So tonight, I am going to give a scripture, but the scripture that I'm going to start with, I actually am going to use at the end of the lesson. The scripture that I'm going to start with, I'm going to use really at the end of the lesson. The scripture is Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Now, I'm not even going to read it right now. I want you to just make sure you write down that scripture. We're going to go through several scriptures on tonight, and we're going to use that one at the end. This Bible study came about a few months ago. If you have Facebook, there was a lot of people on Facebook who began to build a avatar of themselves. And if you don't have Facebook, you might say, what is an avatar? An avatar, you could go into Facebook and you would build a picture of yourself. And some people would have their pictures, you know, leaning to the side. Some people would have their pictures very animated, doing something, maybe sitting on the beach or whatever. That's an avatar. It almost looks like a cartoon kind of thing, but it's supposed to be you. They try to get it as close to you as they could. So when I was on Facebook doing what probably a lot of people do, I tried to build me an avatar. And I tried and tried, and it would not go. I could not get the avatar to build, to my picture, to show up in this avatar. I just would not do it. So I put it to the side, and a few days later, I tried it again. And so I was sitting there saying to myself, I wonder why I can't build the avatar. And I just remember hearing, look up the word avatar. So I looked up the word avatar, and the origin of the word is Hindu, from the Hindu religion. And the dictionary, the Webster dictionary definition of an avatar is a manifestation of a deity or released soul in bodily form on earth. It's an incarnate divine teacher. It refers to the embodiment of a superhuman being or a god, that's a god with a little g, or a goddess with a little g, in another form. Not only is the appearance changed, but the personality and characteristics of what your true self are changed into what the avatar stands for. Now, I know you're saying, okay, so what does that have to do with me building an avatar? The origin of the word is Hindu. It comes from the Hindu religion. The word is translated into English as incarnation, the appearance or the manifestation of a god, little g. So those avatars, and I didn't even know at the time what I was trying to do not represent what we stand for as Christians. That avatar does not represent what we stand for as Christians. We have to remember as Christians, the enemy is looking for any road, any foothill to get into us. And we have to be careful. The word says, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. We cannot jump on a bandwagon just because something looks good. Because, see, the enemy is looking for any road that he can get into to get into us. Now, avatars are usually, I've dug a little bit further. The Hindu, they have a god called Vishnu, second god in the Hindu religion. And he represents the preserver and the protector of the universe. His role is to return to earth in troubled times and restore the balance of good and evil. That's what the Hindu believes. As Christians, that is not our belief. Let me say that again. As Christians, that is not our belief. We believe that we were made in the image of God, not the image of an avatar. So even though it may seem very innocent, I'm going to get a picture and I'm going to make me an avatar and, you know, people see the likeness of me. We have to be very careful. The word of God says in Genesis 1 and 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. God created us in his image, not in the image of an avatar, not in the image of a god little g or goddess little g. We were created in the image of God. And I know sometimes we may do things because other people are doing it without really thinking about, should I be doing this? But we have to be careful because, like I said, the devil is looking for any road that he can get into. I want to give you another scripture, 1 Peter 2 and 9. The word says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The word avatar is not listed in that scripture or in any other place in the Bible. The belief in avatars go against what the Bible teaches about Jesus. First of all, Christianity is not Hinduism. Let me say that again. Christianity is not Hinduism. Hindus believe in many gods, little g, while Christians believe only in one God. We believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. There are many different gods, little g, and goddesses in Hinduism. Therefore, an avatar can appear to a person in whatever form the person envisions. It can be any one of their many gods, or it could be a personal god of their own imagination. Did you catch that? So when we create those avatars, there's more behind it than what we're thinking. Because, see, the enemy is looking for any way, any road in. And this will begin to set up some spiritual warfare in your life, and you don't even realize it because now you have this avatar out there and people are going, they're looking at your avatar, and they are envisioning what you look like. They're envisioning what kind of person you are, because now you have your avatar either on the beach or whatever you've done with your avatar, you know, change the hair or put on glasses when you don't even wear glasses. You know, it's creating a spiritual warfare because now you're creating somebody that really is not even you. Does anyone on the panel have anything to say?
That's really deep. That's really deep because I was trying to do one just like you was, and it won't never let me. I could never get it the way that it was. And now to hear you say this, mm-hmm. I'm kind of glad because people have been reaching out to want to do my own avatar. And I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm floored by what you're saying tonight. So I'm glad you're teaching about this because you didn't open my eyes to a whole lot. So I thank you for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Taylor, did you have something to say?
I'm like Elder Oliver. This is, you know, I never really looked at an avatar like this in this light before. So this is really deep because, like you said, the enemy will use any avenue and area that he can to manipulate your life and the people around you. And so when you talk about an avatar that it seems through your eyes or seen through someone else's eyes, and how the enemy can use that against you. And, you know, because we do a lot of things because it's just popular and because
right.
It seems like it's okay. It seems okay because everybody is doing it. And
right.
or most people are doing it, and because, like you said, the scripture says that my people perish for the lack of knowledge, and because we don't know, and that's why this teaching is so good tonight, is because we don't know, we think it's okay, and we don't
Amen.
Take the time to research certain things and look at certain things that could be detrimental to our soul, that can be detrimental to our spirit man. And so we have to understand that, you know, as Christians, we have to have a sensitive ear to what the Spirit is saying unto us and not neglect that feeling. And see, it sounds like, I don't think I've ever tried to do an avatar, but it sounds like, you know, on the Lord was interjecting on your behalf, Evangelist, and on the Elder Oliver's behalf, not letting you be able to do this, you know, and it caused you to think about, you know, why I can't do this. Let me look it up and find out what's going on with this. And now we know, and we're beginning to know. So I hope everybody that's listening that could have an avatar to get an understanding of the importance of this teaching tonight. So it's very good teaching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, out of my own ignorance as well, you know, I didn't realize it either. But like I said, when I, you know, was sitting there like, why can't I build my avatar? And I just remember the Holy Spirit, you know, just look up the word. Just see what the word says in the dictionary. I mean, I went to the Webster's Dictionary online and looked it up and saw that. And I was like, wow. I was so taken aback because I didn't realize that. And that's when, you know, the scripture came to me, my people perish for lack of knowledge. We have to see why we agree to do something. There's a scripture that I got, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 through 9, I do believe. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 through 9. It says, be sober,
mm-hmm.
be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith. Now, have you ever wondered why the devil goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour? It's because he cannot devour just anyone.
Right.
He's seeking. If he could, he would. Instead, he must be on the lookout, searching for opportunities and open doors. Let me say this again. Have you ever wondered why the devil goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour? It is because he cannot devour just anyone. If he could, he would. He must be on the lookout, searching for opportunities and open doors. He's looking for access into someone's life, looking for what the Bible calls a foothold. See, he's trying to gain a foothold in your life. And the way he does that is, think of a lion. A lion lays in wait looking at its prey. And he's waiting for the prey to make a mistake, or he's waiting for the prey not to be on guard. And when that prey makes a mistake, or when that prey is captured by something else, then he pounces on his prey. Because, see, the prey wasn't on guard. And we have got to be on guard with our soul. We have got to protect this soul. We've got to protect our hearts. We can't be caught off guard. And these are things that can catch us off guard. He's looking for that open door. He's looking for that opportunity. And I wrote, there are many ways that Satan can gain access. He can gain a foothold in your life through fear, through sin, through the occult practices, through unforgiveness, through ignorance, or any area of your life that is not submitted to God. Once the devil's foot is in the door, he will begin to wreak havoc in your life. You have got to be very vigilant. That's why the word says be sober, be vigilant. And sober is not just in a drunken state either. Being sober is making sure that we renew our minds in the Word of God. Don't you know just everyday life can cause you to be unbalanced? It's a lot going on in this life.
Yes,
and
it is.
If you allow yourself to worry, to doubt, to walk in fear, if you allow yourself those things, you're not sober. You're not sober. Because now, instead of praising God or thinking on things of good report, you're worrying and doubting. That's going to open up a door to the enemy. 1 Peter 5:8-9 is very important for all of us. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We've got to be sober-minded. I know we all go through things. I know we all go through some situations and some circumstances. But we can't stay there. We've got to cast all of our cares upon the Lord. And this is just not just one time of the day. You're going to constantly be doing this throughout the day. You know, when I'm at work sometimes, every time I get on the elevator at work, because we can only, right now with COVID, they only allow one person on the elevator at a time. I'm only in a three-story building, so it's not like, you know, there's multiple offices in this building. It's just our building alone. But every time I get on the elevator, I use it as a time to surrender. I literally put my hands up to God and say, God, I submit and surrender to you. I give you my thoughts right now in the name of Jesus. I give you that coworker who's been bothering me today. I give it to you in the name of Jesus. Every time I go to the bathroom, I use that as a time to pray. Every time I get ready to go to my desk, as I'm walking to my desk and nobody's talking to me, I use that as a time to pray. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary is looking to devour you. So you got to use every opportunity that you can to pray. To pray. To pray. To meditate on the word of God. Does anyone have anything else to say before I go to our next thing?
Yeah, I like to say that, you know, especially in the world that we live in today, you said we have to take every opportunity to pray. And it doesn't have to be, a lot of people believe that praying has to be so eloquent, so professionally done, like you have to sound like a professional prayer, or, you know, prayers is basically a humble conversation between you and our Lord Jesus Christ. And,
amen.
And like you said, you just throw up your hands in the elevator and say, you know, whatever you say to the Lord in prayer, you know, it don't have to be so deep. Prayer don't have to be so deep. It don't have to be so, it may be a time where it may have to be a little deep, but most times it don't. It's just a conversation between you and your Lord and Savior. And I do the same thing at work too, Evangelist. You know, I'm walking to the bathroom, I'm walking through the warehouse, and nobody's around me, you know, and I say, thank you, Jesus. I give you glory. I give you honor. You know, because in the world that we live in today, there's so many things that is, you know, everybody's okay with that's not of God.
Right.
And so there's a lot of demon in the atmosphere, you know, because the world is accepting a lot of things that go against the word of God, you know.
Okay.
And so the saints, the body of Christ, we have to be vigilant. We have to be sober, you know, because our enemy, you know, is very vigilant. Our enemy is very sober. Our enemy he's very on point, you know. And so when we slack, you know, that gives him an advantage, you know. So we have to stay on point. We have to stay diligent. And we have to be on point. We have to be sober-minded in our thoughts, in our prayers, and, you know, and how we do and say things within our own mind, body, and soul. So it's important that we pray, you know, without ceasing, basically, you know. And it don't have to be a half-hour prayer. It don't have to be a 15-minute prayer. It could be a one-minute, two-minute prayer, you know. Jesus, you know, I love you. Creating me a clean heart, renew a right spirit in me. You know, just something to that effect, you know, and something to encourage yourself, you know, encourage yourself through prayer, you know. And don't always have to count on somebody else to pray you through. Pray yourself through. Because you got the same Holy Ghost that I got. I can do the same. I can pray myself through. Now, it's encouraging when somebody else is praying with you or for you. That's encouraging, and that's what we should do. But that shouldn't be the end-all, be-all. You know, it should start with us. It should start with you. It should start with me as an individual first, having that prayer life with God. I know I got a little long-winded there, but it's just this day and age that we live in that everything is acceptable. You know, everything. I see the commercials. I see commercials with two men on it, sitting on the couch, you know, hugged up, you know, and two women, and it's what the world is accepting, that is what allowing the enemy to be able to, you know, roam around, because we are opening gates for him to come in. You know, the world is opening gates for the demonic forces to come in. And if we are not aware of the body of Christ, Christians, saints of God, is not aware of these things, we're going to be in the world of trouble. We're going to be in the world of trouble. So we got to have an ear. Because I'm going to say this, and I'm going to be done talking. One of the things that I pray for, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, give me an ear to hear what the Holy Ghost is saying unto me. Give me an eye to see what the Holy Ghost wants me to see. Give me a spirit to feel your presence in my life, and to know a presence that is not of you around me. And so, hallelujah. And that's what I pray, and I ask God to show me. So I think that would be a good way to get, you know, because depression is a demonic force. You know, there's so many demonic forces out there in the world today that people, it seems to be, in this 21st century, it seems to be more prevalent than ever before. You know, it seems to be prevalent around the world more than ever, you know. So.
Right.
Good lesson. I'm done. I won't say nothing else. I know I got long-winded here.
No, you're okay, Elder. You're good. So our next thing that I wanted to talk about that Christians are doing, burning sage. Now,
burning sage.
I've heard people say, oh, yeah, I burn sage to get rid of bad spirits, burning sage. And when I say sage, I'm talking about the herb before it's crushed up. You know, I know some people cook with sage, but the herb before it's crushed in its natural form, people take it and they light it up and they take the smoke from it, and they say that they're cleaning the room of any bad spirits or bad influence. Now, I looked up. Now, I've never tried to burn sage, but I actually did have a coworker who was talking about she burns sage, and she's a Christian. So I looked up burning sage. It's mudging, M-U-D-G-I-N-G,
smudging.
There are two groups of people, especially, that use this ritual. One is Native Americans, and the other one is shamans. Now, a shaman is a religious practice that involves a practitioner who is believed to interact with the spirit world, altered states of consciousness, such as a trance. The goal of this is usually to direct these spirits or spiritual energies into the physical world, the material world, and the spiritual world. It is considered the same as saging yourself, your home, or your environment. A person regarded as having access to an influence in the world of good and evil spirits. Typically, such people enter a trance during the ritual and practice divination and healing. The ritual of burning sage has its roots in Native American tradition. Today, people burn sage and other herbs to cleanse a space or environment of negative energy to generate wisdom and clarity and to promote healing. This is a new age religion. As Christians, only names were the only thing that will cause the influence of demonic activity to leave is the name of Jesus.
That's right.
Is the name of Jesus. Philippians 2:9 says, wherefore God also has exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That is the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus will cause demons to tremble. The name of Jesus caused people to fall on their knees. The name of Jesus will cause deliverance and healing. Only the name of Jesus. In James 2:19, it says, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devil also believes and trembles.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say that. James 2:19, it says, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. If you believe that there is one God, if you believe the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they are one, you do well. The devils also believe, and they tremble. They tremble at the name of Jesus. They flee at the name of Jesus. They have got to go at the name of Jesus. Burning sage or smudging your room is not going to cause the enemy to leave. As a matter of fact, you are opening up a door into the spiritual realm for them to come in. Only but by the name of Jesus. Does anyone on the panel have anything they'd like to say about burning sage or smudging?
Evangelist, I can just tell you, you on one tonight. I know a lot of people that are Christians, and even some pastors, you see them talking about burning that stuff, and you're opening up. All I can say is, wow, this is knowledge to me. I did not know, and it explains a lot of other things why people act the way they act when they get off Facebook and some of that other stuff. And I'm just in awe right now what you're teaching tonight, and I thank you for it, because it's educating me in the spiritual what we should not do and what we should stay away from. And just because it doesn't look harmful, it could be very harmful in a spiritual way somewhere down the line, because Satan can get in that crack and take over. So I definitely appreciate this teaching, and I'm just going to be quiet and let you keep on going, because I'm taking in a lot of knowledge and learning a lot just from what you're teaching on tonight. So great teaching.
I like to add too, as I understand, is that, see, Facebook, it could be used for a lot of good, and on the flip side of that, it can be used for a lot of bad.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing with Instagram, Twitter, all of these social media outlets can be used, if we're not careful with how we use these social media outlets. And if you own them and you're using them for the wrong reason, and you're looking up stuff, looking up, trying to find different ones, and, you know, so we have to understand is that As a man or woman of God, as a follower of Jesus Christ, we have to understand is that, why am I on Facebook? Why am I on Instagram? Why am I on, you know, and like I said, there's nothing wrong with it if you're on it for the right reasons. And it doesn't monopolize your time, you know.
Right.
And it doesn't keep you away from doing what God say do, you know. So and there's a lot of avenues. I've used Facebook to spread information, because people's always on Facebook. You know, I use it. Mm-hmm. I use Instagram to spread information. You know, so a lot of good can come from it, but also we have to be careful to know the difference between the good and bad that can come from being on these, you know, these social media outlets all the time and consistently, and, you know.
Right. I mean, and it's true, Elder. We, you know, it's almost like we kind of give ourselves permission, because other people are doing it, then it must be okay.
Right.
I mean, for real, we kind of give ourselves that permission. But
right.
Like I said in the beginning, we have got to protect. We've got to protect our soul. We've got to protect our heart at all costs. We have got to protect it. I have a scripture, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27 and the first part of verse 28, Ephesians 4. 27 and the first part of 28, it says, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. I give God glory for this Bible study tonight, that He prompted me to teach it, because like I said, a lot of people do things out of ignorance, or, you know, because somebody else may have said it, and not realizing we're opening up a door in the spiritual realm to the enemy, you know, because the enemy is the great deceiver. He would have you thinking, oh, this is okay, this is, you know, I'm not doing anything bad, but you're opening up a door, and he's roaring. He's on the prowl, and if he sees a little bit crack in that door that he can get into, he's going to pounce on it and begin to wreak havoc in your life. He comes to steal, he comes to kill, and he comes to destroy you as a Christian, as the sons and daughters of the Most High God. So we got to know why we are doing something. We got to test by the Spirit, just as Elder had taught previously, before testing the Spirit by the Spirit. And Pastor just made a comment, don't take any shortcuts. It's true. We go to God directly. That's why I gave you that scripture in the beginning of Matthew 6 and 33, and we're going to get there last. I'm going to bring it up. That needs to be every Christian anthem, Matthew 6, 33. But we're going to bring that in last to tie it all together. But it is very important that we know why we are doing something. I know Christians who burn sage, you know, but after looking this up, and like I said, it's called smudging, and it's a practice really high with shamans. And shamans, I think probably some people would know them maybe as witch doctors, or you know, in the spiritual realm, they're calling in demonic forces, but they're saying to separate good and evil. But anytime you deal out any spirit outside of the Holy Spirit is evil. Any spirit outside of the Holy Spirit is evil. So we've got to be very, very careful, because, like I said, Satan is very cunning. He's a deceiver. He wants to pounce on you. So if you're practicing burning sage, you can now know, call on the name of Jesus. Call on the name of Jesus. Calling on the name of Jesus would change the atmosphere. Calling on the name of Jesus would change the room. Calling on the name of Jesus would change your heart. Calling on the name of Jesus would change your mind. Calling on the name of Jesus will bring healing. Calling on the name of Jesus will bring deliverance. Calling on the name of Jesus. There's authority in that name. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's deliverance in the name of Jesus. There's peace in the name of Jesus. There's strength in the name of Jesus. That's where we get our strength from. That is what cleans the room. Does anyone have anything else to say before we come to our last one?
That's good. That's said enough right there. Evangelist, if I would add something, I'd just like to say that on the other side of burning sage, I actually know someone that does that, and they're not Christian, to back up what you're saying. And they're belief is in energy and in the universe and things of that nature, that just solidifies that some of the Christians are doing this not knowing that they're opening themselves up, don't know the history and the background. They just know that somebody that, you know, they're associated with, a friend of a friend or anyone close to them, just said, hey, this is what it's for, do this, but they didn't give the whole meaning behind it. And I think that this is an eye-opener for those that, whether you've done it before, you thought about it or anything, to know what you're getting yourself into, know what you're doing, and know the meaning of it, the true meaning of it, and not just doing things out of tradition and because you heard a friend say that this was okay or that was okay. Sometimes we got to take time out to understand things and get an understanding on our own. So I just wanted to add that briefly, but wonderful job on what you're doing tonight. It's a big eye opener, and I love to hear all this goodness that the Lord is giving you to teach us on tonight.
Okay, so our next one, and I'm kind of combining the three of these, and I want you to really listen to what I'm saying. This next one is calling and evoking your ancestors, saying that a loved one that is deceased came to visit you, or going to see a psychic. I'm going to say that again. This last one is calling and evoking your ancestors, saying that a loved one that is deceased came to visit you, or going to see a psychic. What these are is a familiar spirit.
Yes.
A familiar spirit. The idea literally refers to demons that are close or familiar to a person. A familiar spirit is the double, the alter ego of an individual. It does not look like the individual concerned. Even though it may have an end of its own, it remains closely linked to the individual. Familiar spirits are evil spirits or demons. They have no place in the life of a Christian. We are to live by God's spirit and stand against the spiritual forces of evil as we seek to live for the Lord. Now, when I say calling and invoking your ancestors, I have an example of that. I had a family member that had got ill, and she was very ill. And she was telling me that while she was sick, she began to call on the ancestors for her healing. And I did share with her that there's only healing in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
that
sir.
Your ancestors are not alive. They cannot bring healing. I also had family members who have told me that loved ones who have already died, they said that they came and saved them from a situation. They said, oh, you know, grandma came, and grandma, it was at a time when I was going through something, and grandma came. I saw her come into the room, and, you know, she told me that I should turn off the light, and that would help me. Or people who go see psychics, you know, because they want to know what's going to happen in the future. These are all doorways to demonic activity.
That's right.
Your loved one is dead. They're not coming back to visit you.
That's
They're
right.
not coming back to give you wisdom, knowledge, or understanding. They're not coming back to tell you you should drive left instead of going right. Your ancestors, our ancestors are dead. We are not calling on our ancestors to give us power or authority. There's only power and authority in the name of Jesus.
That's right.
Our demons. And what they do is they try to come at you so that you won't be scared. So they come in the likeness of someone that is deceased so that you would be comfortable to entertain them.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to what I'm saying. Grandma is not coming back. Mama is not coming back. I know you love Mama. I know you love Grandma. I know you love Daddy or Grandpa, but they're not coming back to give you wisdom. Those are demons. The enemy
is
a deceiver. He wants to deceive you. I don't know if you've all seen this new app that recently came out. It's an app that will bring your deceased picture, your deceased loved one picture.
What?
It's an app. Yes, it's an app. And what you do is in the app, you put your deceased loved one picture, and it literally brings their face alive.
Wow.
It's an app. Yes. And I don't have the app, but I was scrolling through TikTok one day, and a lot of people showed it on TikTok. And it shows you put your loved one, literally, your deceased loved one, at any state in their life that you have a picture of, it brings them alive. And what this is demons allowing it to look like your loved one so that you can get comfortable.
Yes.
So when those come at you, you're not fearful of them. You begin to be comfortable because you entertain it. Because you entertain it. We are not to entertain demons. We are not to entertain. Yes, sir.
I just want to interject something real quick. I have a question, and it's basically a rhetorical question, but I just want to put it out there for the listening people that's listening to tonight. Anybody believe that what Evangelist Stanton is saying about your mother, your father, your grandmother, grandfather, brother, sister, uncle, whoever it is, coming back to see you? And if you ever believed that at any point in your life, what made you believe that? Because it's not written in the Bible. It's not written unless you've been going to a psychic. Unless, because a man or woman of God is not going to tell you anything different than, shouldn't tell you, I should say, anything different than what Evangelist Stanton is telling us tonight in her teaching. Because where did you get the idea that that's even possible? That would be my question, you know, because we have to understand, where did you get this from? Even probably people in the church believe this stuff. And it's because they don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Right.
And so they just church goers. And they still have the word.
Right.
You know, so with no established relationship with Jesus. So that would be my question to anybody that's listening that believes these kinds of things is, what gave you the idea that this is even possible? You had to get it from somewhere. Somebody either told you, or you've been going seeing psychics, or you've been going seeing some necromancers, or somebody has said that this is possible to whoever believes this. It may not be nobody that's listening tonight. It could be somebody that you know. But I would like to know, what gave you the idea that this is even possible?
Elder, I even have a scripture that speaks against it. Now, I'm not going to read it all, but I'm going to give everybody the scripture on tonight. And there's a verse in here that I really want to hit. Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. Luke 16. You know what? I'm going to read it. Verses 19. Yes. I'm going to read it. It says, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his feet full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thou good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. So they which pass from hence to you cannot neither can they pass to us. that would come from them. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went into them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither were they persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Verse 26, and besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. They're not coming to give you words.
That's it.
They're not
That's
coming
it.
To give you a word. If you need a word, you go to the
That's
word
it.
Of God. You go to the word of God. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 11 through 12 says, there should not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that use divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all those that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And
awesome.
These nations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Do not consult a psychic to see what's going to happen in your life.
What scripture was that?
That was Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 11 through 12. And then Luke 16, 19 through 31. Do not try to invoke your ancestors, because your ancestors can't tell you nothing. Your mama, your daddy, they're not coming back. I know you love them, but they're not coming back to give you wisdom. They gave you wisdom when they was here. We thank God for our parents. We thank God for our loved ones who have passed on. But that's just it. They go home. And those are doors that people open to themselves, to familiar spirits. And you become comfortable with those spirits. And when those spirits come, they don't come by themselves. They don't come. They bring other demons with them. So if you think mama's just coming through the portal to visit you, no. There's demons that are coming with them to wreak havoc in your life. The
That's
enemy
right.
wants to pounce on you. The enemy wants to take everything about you, your joy. The enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy your life, and he's going to use whatever road he can to get in. So I told you about a scripture when we first began, Matthew 6 and 33, and I said this should be the Christian's anthem. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You want to know what's going to happen tomorrow? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Let me say this to you. When you consult a psychic, this is what they do. They vibe off of your reaction. It's just like I remember my pastor, our pastor, saying, if a prophet prophesying to you, don't react. Keep yourself going. Just look. Because what they do is they try to vibe off of the way you react. So, for instance, if you go to a psychic, these are the areas they're going to talk about. Relationship, either you're single or you're in a marriage or your family. So what they're going to do is they're going to try to bait you. They're going to say, oh, yeah, I see something about relationship. Well, everybody got relationships going on. So when you like nod, like, ooh, like how do they know that? Well, they're going to talk about either you single. They're going to look at your hand to see if you have on a ring. If you don't have on a ring, they're going to be like, well, I see that you single. You know, they're going to try to bait those things, and that's just the enemy. You know, they're going to talk about if you do have on a ring, then they're going to be like, oh, you're married. Maybe there's trouble in the relationship. Well, every marriage, there's things that go on in the relationship. Or they're going to talk about your family. The other thing they're going to talk about is finances. Oh, I see that you have some financial trouble. Okay, finances. But see, you give it away. You give it away with the enemy. You look, you know, like, oh, wow, like how does she know that? Or how do they know that? Talk about job. Maybe you're having some trouble at your job. And that's how they bait. That's how they bait you. That's how they get you.
That's right.
But you can get all that in the Word of God. You can get that in Jeremiah 29:11. I love Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Word of God. You want to know about your future? Go to Jeremiah 29:11. It says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. That's your future. In the Word of God. In the Word of God. But like I said, Matthew 6:33. If you're wondering about your life, seek first the kingdom of God. If you have questions, if you're walking the way that you should be walking, seek first the kingdom of God. If you need healing, seek first the kingdom of God. If you need salvation, if you need deliverance, seek first the kingdom of God. Am I ever going to give up these cigarettes? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Am I ever going to stop drinking? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Am I ever going to stop watching porn? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's what we have to do. That's what we have to do as sons and daughters of the Most High God. Now, if you're listening to me on tonight, and you gotten yourself into some of these things, the good news is you still here and you can be delivered from them. Go to God. Say, God, in my ignorance, even if you weren't ignorant to it, God, in my ignorance or whatever it is, God, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have been doing those things. I did them, but I repent. Ask God for forgiveness. Throw out the sage. Stop calling on your mama. Stop calling on your daddy. Stop calling on the ancestors. Call on the name of Jesus. Stop going to psychics. Close that door. Say, in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus. Begin to plead the blood of Jesus over your mind. Plead the blood of Jesus over your thoughts. Plead the blood of Jesus that you would get a change mind so that you can turn away from those things. Repent and ask God to order your footsteps. Make Matthew 6:33 your anthem. So when you begin to question, say, guess what? I'm going to seek you first, the kingdom of God. I'm not going to go to one of my girlfriends or go to my homeboy or go to my buddies. I'm going to seek you first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added. Does anyone on the panel have anything to say?
All I can say is awesome, awesome, awesome. This is one of the best Bible studies that I've been a part of in a while. It is so good, so thought-provoking. I'm big on spiritual warfare. So some of these scriptures that you use tonight, you understand, I'm very aware of. And, you know, but the way that you approach the scriptures in terms of, you know, reaching out to the ancestors and, you know, all of these things, I'm sure a lot of people did not know these things. And I think it's a real time issue in the world that we live in today.
Yeah.
It's a real time word for the world that we live in today, and it's been going on for ages, but
yeah.
It just seems today is that with all the social media and the media outlets, it's becoming more prevalent.
Yeah.
And more consistent, and it's being put in your face more now, like nah, boo boo, what you gonna do about this kind of thing, from the
right.
world's perspective,
right.
and they showing us we gonna do this regardless of what the Word of God say,
right.
You know, in spite of what the Word of God say, you know, so
mm.
It's gonna be a sad day for those that think they're going to heaven. And on that judgment day, he said, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. And so it's important that we have a prayer life, because that allows Jesus to know us intimately. You know, that allows him to, and we can interact with him intimately, you know. And so, it's an awesome word tonight. Very, very, very good word. Taught exceptionally, you know. And I hope that somebody got something out of it tonight. And I'm sure they did, because I did. I did.
Mm-hmm.
I really did. I really enjoyed it. It was a good word tonight.
I just was going to say, Evangelist, that was, again, it hit home again. And I guess when you teach, it's supposed to hit home, because a lot of stuff that you said, it was sitting right in my face, and I didn't have a clue. So you gave me a lot to go with, a lot I've learned, and a lot just you didn't know, you just brought to a light. So I just want to thank you for that. And again, it was a great teaching, and I want to say it was rich, because someone should have got something out of that, because there was a lot in there and a lot that goes on today. As soon as you turn your computer or your phone on, we're hit with exactly what you were talking about the avatar, and to say it's just right there, it's relevant right today. So I just want to thank you, because you opened my eyes. I just want to say thank you. That was a great teaching.
To God be the glory. We learn from each other. We hold each other accountable in the Word of God, because at the end of the day, I know we want to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. To God be the glory, that we would decrease as he increased, because the world is looking for that light. The world is looking for that light. And we've got to give ourselves to God completely. Elder Taylor, thank you very much, sir, and I'll turn it over to you.
All right. As always, it's another awesome word on our Praise Tabernacle Bible study, Tuesday night Bible study. Like I just said a few minutes ago, this has probably been one of the better Bible studies that I've been a part of in a long time, because the in-depth that you went into with the scriptures and everything, just reaffirming and confirming that, you know, mom and daddy ain't coming back. Grandma, uncle, cousin, brother, sister, they're not coming back to speak to you. And so the question that I had was, how do you know to even speak of these things? What gives you the idea to speak of these things? Are we going to psychics? Are you going to necromancers? She gave you descriptions in Deuteronomy, you know. So it's all a fallacy. It's all not of Jesus Christ, you know. If it's not in the Word, it's not going to benefit us, because the Bible is our guideline. The Bible is our playbook for those that love the Lord Jesus Christ. So I hope that, you know, this is something that's very serious, and because the enemy hates your soul. He don't care nothing about your flesh. He hates your soul, and he wants your soul to be damned forever. And so if he can get you any kind of way that he can, he will. So this has been very thought-provoking for me, and I hope that it's been thought-provoking for any and everybody that had an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord was saying tonight. And we just give God all the glory. We give God all the honor, because it's through him that we find our being and our ways and our spirit man and our soul. So I just hope that you got something out of it, and I hope that you can be encouraged tonight from what you've heard, what you've learned, what you heard from one of the panel members, what you heard from the teacher tonight, that encouraged you in a supernatural way, and a super spiritual, super physical way. So we just pray and give God all the honor, give Jesus Christ all the honor and glory, because without him, we are nothing. Without him, we can't do nothing. So Evangelist Stanton, great word tonight, great teaching tonight. And we just want you to stay encouraged, and your husband, Deacon Lee, to stay encouraged as you continue to press on. And so without nothing else, we're going to go over some events that we got coming up through Praise Tabernacle Church on behalf of Bishop Omar Zachary, our pastor, and his wife, Lady Zachary. We just want to say thank you. And we just want to go over some events that we got coming up. Our weekly events are always, we got the DUK Bible Break on Mondays. I meet at 7 p.m. And then again, we come right back at it on Tuesday nights with Praise Tabernacle Bible Study through Chaos Block Talk Radio. And starting at 7 p.m. with various speakers, a different speaker each week with me as your host. And then on Thursday nights, we have Bishop Omar Zachary and family, our pastor and his family. They're on Thursday nights through Chaos Block Talk Radio and Facebook Live. And then on March the 26th to 27th and the 28th, we're back at our Chaos Block Talk Revival, the second leg of the revival. And I will be your speaker for the Friday night 26th. Minister Tober will be your speaker for the 27th. And our own Evangelist Dale Stanton will close us out that Sunday morning at 9 a.m., which will be on every event will be on Facebook Live and on Chaos Block Talk Radio. So, you know, I might have said those things a little fast, but hopefully you could write them down. The 26th, the 27th, and the 28th of March will be in our second leg of our Chaos Block Talk Radio with Derek Oliver. And then I got a special event that I have coming up.
I've been asked to be a part of a panel to speak on child suicide and gun safety, which will be the 24th of Wednesday, March the 24th, from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And if you would like to register and listen to the panel, for anybody that feel like they can use this panel, I'll be on with, I think, 5 or 6 other panel members from different walks of life that have had experience or deal with either gun safety or child suicide. I'm on as a football coach of almost 18 years and as an elder and minister in the church. I'm excited about it. I've been asked to do this. So if you would like to write this down, and I'm almost done, if you would like to write this down, the website is called Eventbrite, EventBrite.com, Eventbrite.com, EventBrite.com. And if you would like, you can go in there, you can register. And I believe it's like a Zoom-type meeting where it'll be from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. on next Wednesday, March the 24th. And I really encourage everybody to listen. There'll be the sheriff of Gwinnett County, myself, the GFL football director, a parent that lost a child to suicide, and I think a child psychiatrist or psychologist or someone. I think it's going to be very helpful, you know, because you never know when it can hit your family. So I know that was a little long, but I just wanted to get that out, the information out, anybody that feel like they can use it. And if there be nothing else from any of the panel, we're going to dismiss with a quick prayer and our scripture. Dear Lord, we thank you, we give you glory, we give you honor, we magnify your holy name, Lord God, and we exalt your blessed name. We give you glory and we give you honor. We say thank you, Lord, for the word tonight, that it had free course, that your word had free course tonight, that it touched the hearts and the minds of the people that had an ear to hear what you were saying unto us tonight, Lord God. And we just give you glory. We give you honor, Lord God, and we magnify your holy name. And we say thank you. And if there be nothing else, like we always say, our scripture, Matthew 28:19-20, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things. And lo, I will be with you always, even into the end of the world. Amen. We are dismissed from Bible study. God bless you all. Pray that you all have a continued great night and a great rest of the week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.